Good morning. I'm glad to see all of you here, and I welcome you all here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for coming out this morning. And yes, David and I have known each other for a long time. Yeah, it's been 50 years.
Yeah.
So, I've been praying for 3 weeks about what he wants me to bring forth this morning. And it's going to be, for some of you that listened into New York, it's going to be the same sermon. And I prayed about it, and this is it. So that's what you're going to get. If you've heard it, well, you get to critique it some more. Those of you who haven't heard the sermon, I hope that it doesn't step on your toes and make you feel bad. What I hope is that it will give you a desire to serve him, to keep his commandments on a daily basis. So, if you would please open your scriptures, if you're going to follow along, to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. We're going to start at verse 11. And this is, they've taken Jesus, they've arrested him, they've brought him in front of Pilate. Verse 11 says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." He's not saying anything. "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas." Oh, and by the way, I hope you have had a happy Passover, because we still got 2 more days. Did you know that? Yeah. 2 more days. So, this was, 2,000 and some years ago, maybe a little less than 2,000 years ago that this was going on, and 2 or 3 days ago. And so here's Jesus, and Pontius Pilate is asking the crowd, "Who do you want? Who do you want?" "And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." Okay, so I know that all of you guys, and myself, I know that when we read this and everything, we're like, how could they have chosen Barabbas? Right? I mean, the things that we know about Jesus and we know what he's done for us in our lives, why would anybody choose Barabbas? I know you guys wouldn't. Okay? So, verse 19, "When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." She'd been having nightmares because of Jesus. "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And so, you know, I prayed and I asked God, why this? Why am I reading this? What is the point here? And he said, Well, Sean, who did you choose yesterday? Jesus or Barabbas? So I ask you, who did you choose yesterday? Jesus or Barabbas? I'm hoping that in your heart you're saying Jesus. If you said Barabbas in your hearts, then I beg you, choose Jesus today. And I want you to choose Jesus tomorrow. You know, the name Barabbas, it's really weird because the definition of the word Barabbas means the son of the father. Why was it set up this way? Why did they choose someone called the son of the father? When Jesus Christ is the son of the father, you know, this is the one we want. But who was Barabbas? He was a counter-revolutionary. He wanted to overthrow the Roman government. He was a murderer. He had killed a Roman citizen. You know, he was not a good person. Who was Jesus? Jesus was a man that loved everybody, and he wanted good for everyone, and he'd done all kinds of miracles for all kinds of people. He had healed servants of Roman citizens. He had also told the people, pay your taxes to the Romans. He even told Peter when they came into the city of the town of Capernaum, and you come in, you know, in those days you'd walk into a town if you were a visitor in the town, and as you came through the gate, you had to pay money to the guy at the gate. It was called a tribute, okay? It wasn't a tax. This was a Roman citizen at the gate, soldier, getting the tribute money for you to help pay for the sewers and the water and the streets and, you know, so that these visitors that would come into these towns would help pay for the stuff that they were going to be using. And Peter, you know, they come walking through and Jesus didn't pay it. You know, he's expecting the guys to take care of it. And the guy at the gate comes up to Peter and he goes, Hey, your master and none of the other you guys and nor you have paid the tribute money. And Peter tells him, Oh, we don't need to. This is Jesus Christ. You know, this is the Messiah. And Jesus heard him talking to the guy for the tribute money. He says, Peter, says, who do you think you are? Who do you think we are? Says, you go down to the seashore and you throw in your line and you're going to pull in a fish. When you get that fish, you're going to pull out a coin and there'll be enough money in that one coin to pay the tribute money for all of us. We pay the tribute. Okay. Jesus was not like Barabbas at all. And so I can see how the elders and the priests were able to convince the crowd to choose Barabbas. I mean, this guy wants to get rid of Rome. This guy is a revolutionary. This guy's for us. Jesus Christ wants you to pay taxes. Jesus Christ has healed people for the Roman citizens. Why in the world would you want Jesus? You know, Barabbas' name is the son of the father. But who was the father of Barabbas? I believe he is the father of all lies, Satan himself. And so the chief priests and the elders got them to believe a lie. And they chose Barabbas over Jesus. And in the world, we have many people out there telling you lies, saying, no, no, it's okay. You can do this. This isn't really a sin. Go ahead. It's all right. God loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Go ahead. He loves you no matter what you do. Go ahead and choose him. Or Barabbas. Go ahead and choose the lie, the sin. So we get that thrown at us all the time. And it's everywhere in the world today. If you'd open your Book of Mormon to 2 Nephi chapter 1, starting at verse 119, this is on page 86. Usually people start at verse 115, but today we're starting at 119. It says, wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, that's Jesus Christ, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. Barabbas. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself, Barabbas and his father, Satan. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of the Holy Spirit and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh, and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate you, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. So again, I ask you, please, choose Barabbas. Or, I'm sorry, Jesus. You see how easy that slips in there? Yeah, no. And... talk to your neighbors about this. Talk to your neighbors and ask them, do you know the story of Barabbas and Jesus? Do you know what the people did, who they chose? And then go ahead and ask them. Say, so I ask you, who did you choose yesterday? Who do you want to choose today? Who do you want to choose tomorrow? Because you're free to make that choice. It's up to you. So talk to your neighbors about it. Because they need to know. The choices that they're making are going to affect their lives. And they're going to affect your life. Because these are your neighbors. They're going to affect the lives of your children. They're going to affect the lives of the people in the town that you live in. And the state that you live in, and the country that you live in. So the choices that we make, they truly affect all of us. You know, as human beings, we think opposite of that. This isn't going to affect anybody but me. Why should anybody worry about what I'm doing? Why should this affect you at all? This is just me. But it does affect all of us. In the book of Mosiah, chapter 7, starting at verse 27, and this is on page 241. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 25. And it came to pass that King Noah sent his armies against them. Okay, the Lamanites had come through. They had been disrupting the things on the outlying towns and areas around the main kingdom, the main city. And so they had been destroying the people and the crops and the things out there, stealing their flocks. And so King Noah, in verse 25, it says, "And it came to pass that King Noah sent his armies against them, against the Lamanites, and they were driven back," or they drove them back for a time. "Therefore they returned in rejoicing in their spoil. And now because of this great victory, they were lifted up in the pride of their hearts. They did boast in their own strength, saying that their 50 could stand against thousands of the Lamanites." Look at us. We're so great. Look at what we just did to the Lamanites. Those guys are nothing compared to us. Why, just 50 of you men could go out there and kill thousands of them. Aren't we great? You know, we did this all by our own strength. No mention of anything about what God has done for those people. "And thus they did boast and delight in blood and the shedding of the blood of their brethren, and this because of the wickedness of their king and priests. And it came to pass that there was a man among them whose name was Abinadi. And he went forth among them and began to prophesy, saying, Behold, thus saith the Lord, and thus hath he commanded me, saying, Go forth and say unto this people, Thus saith the Lord, Woe be unto this people. For I have seen their abominations and their wickedness and their whoredoms, and except they repent, I will visit them in mine anger. And except they repent and turn to the Lord their God, behold, I will deliver them into the hands of their enemies. Yea, and they shall be brought into bondage, and they shall be afflicted by the hand of their enemies. And it shall come to pass that they shall know that I am the Lord their God and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of my people. And it shall come to pass that except this people repent and turn unto the Lord their God, they shall be brought into bondage, and none shall deliver them except it be the Lord, the Almighty God. Yea, and it shall come to pass that when they shall cry unto me, I will be slow to hear their cries. Yea, and I will suffer them that they be smitten by their enemies." I don't want that for us. I don't want that for any of you or your family members. I don't want that for my family members. I don't want that for Independence or Missouri or the United States. I don't want that for anybody. "And except they repent in sackcloth and ashes and cry mightily to the Lord their God, I will not hear their prayers, neither will I deliver them out of their afflictions. And thus saith the Lord, and thus hath he commanded me." I'm not saying that you need to go out and put on sackcloth and ashes and tell all of your neighbors to do the same thing and all of that. I'm just saying that when you commit sin, don't just brush it off and think that, "Dear God, thank you for this day and all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for the food that you prepared for us. Please forgive me of my sins. I ask for all of this in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen." No. You have to mean it when you say it. Think about what you're asking for. Think about what you've done, and think about what it is that you truly want in your hearts when you ask him to forgive you of your sins. And then ask him to help you and instill in you a desire to never sin again, that he will strengthen you and strengthen your resolve, that you would never, ever ask for Barabbas again in your life. And do that every day. Because if you're like me, or the most of us, or like my Uncle Nicholas Denham, you're going to commit some kind of a sin every day that you're going to need to repent of. So when you do repent, mean it. You don't have to put on sackcloth and ashes and look like you mean it. I want you to mean it in your heart. Turn to the book of Helaman, chapter 4. Page 583. I'm going to start at verse 40. And it came to pass that thus ended this year, and the robbers still did increase and wax strong, insomuch that they did defy the whole armies of the Nephites and also of the Lamanites, and they did cause great fear to come unto the people, yea, upon all the face of the land. Yea, for they did visit many parts of the land and did do great destruction unto them. Yea, did kill many and did carry away others captive into the wilderness. Yea, and more especially their women and their children. Now this great evil which came unto the people because of their iniquity did stir them up again in remembrance of the Lord their God. Things got bad. They turned back their hearts and their thoughts towards God, and they were like, oh man, you know, please help us, please forgive us. And apparently, things got a little bit better. And thus ended the 81st year of the reign of the judges, and in the 82nd year, they began again to forget the Lord their God. And in the 83rd year, they began to act strong in iniquity. And you think, how could you do that? In 3 years' time, how could you forget what God had just helped you get through with? I mean, even the Lamanites were suffering because of these robbers and the terrible plague of thievery that was going on in the land. And God got you out of it, and in 3 short years, you turned your backs on him again? 9/11. The whole United States went back to church for about 6 weeks. And then we got all riled up, and we were God-fearing, patriotic Americans again, and we were going to show the world, you don't mess with us God-fearing Americans, right? Yeah, and we went to war. And we pretty much stopped going to church again as a nation. In fact, we go to church less as a nation now than we did before 9/11. And so when you read this and you think, how could they do that? What's the matter with us? What are we thinking? And in the 84th year, they did not mend their ways. And it came to pass in the 85th year, they did wax stronger and stronger in their pride and in their wickedness, and thus they were ripening again for destruction, and thus ended the 85th year. And thus we can behold how false, and also the unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. Yea, we can see that the Lord, in his great infinite goodness, doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in him. He will. He does do that. It's a promise. Yea, and we may see at the very time when he doth prosper his people, yea, in the increase of their fields and their flocks and their herds, and in gold and in silver and in all manner of precious things of every kind and art, sparing their lives and delivering them out of the hands of their enemies, softening the hearts of their enemies that they should not declare wars against them, yea, and in fine, doing all things for the welfare and happiness of his people. Think back to last week, or the week before, actually. Think back to the week before last. Iran shot 300 and some plus missiles, rockets, and drones at Israel, and they all got destroyed, but maybe two. And it really didn't do any harm to Israel. And Israel's like, yeah, nobody can touch us. In fact, you wait and see what we're going to do to you because of this. And they did it with our help and with England's help and France's help and some of the other countries helped them. And nobody really gave God the glory or thanked him for it. 51, yea, then is the time that they do harden their hearts and do forget the Lord their God and do trample under their feet the Holy One. Yea, and this because of their ease and their exceeding great prosperity. And thus we see that except the Lord doth chasten his people with many afflictions, yea, except he doth visit them with death and with terror and with famine and with all manner of pestilences, they will not remember him. Oh, how foolish and how vain and how evil and devilish and how quick to do iniquity and how slow to do good are the children of men. Yea, how quick to hearken unto the words of the evil one and to set their hearts upon the vain things of the world. Yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride. Yea, how quick to boast and to do all manner of that which is iniquity. And how slow are they to remember the Lord their God, and to give ear unto his counsels. Yea, how slow to walk in wisdom's path. Behold, they do not desire that the Lord their God, who hath created them, should rule and reign over them, notwithstanding his great goodness and his mercy towards them. They do set at naught his counsels, and they will not that he should be their guide. We're going to have an election this year. And everybody's looking forward to this one because, you know, it's been tough the past 3.5 years. And the United States has just dipped into chaos. There's all kinds of insane things that have been happening in our country. Cities rioting and setting buildings on fire and cars on fire and defunding the police and just passing all kinds of laws saying, you can take whatever kind of drug you want. It's all okay. You can do anything you want. You can take over the city hall. You can take over the downtown city government area. And it's all okay because we love everybody just like Jesus. That's insane. So now we're hoping that we're going to change things, that we're going to vote in and things are going to be better and we're going to go back and it's going to be good again, right? Do we deserve that as a nation? You guys deserve that, I believe. You're here. But as a nation, do we deserve that? Do we deserve prosperity and peace and all of those things as a nation? We still have all of those laws that we passed in all of these different states saying it's okay to do this, that, and the other. You know, we've been saying it's okay to do this, that, and the other since way back in the early 70s. Early 70s. I don't know if we deserve peace, prosperity, and happiness right now. I'm hoping that things will change. I am hoping that the citizens of this country will change. It can happen. They all have a choice, just like us. They could be here this morning. They could. And they could be here next week. They just have to decide. You know, we're not the only ones to choose wrong. We're not the only ones to say, we don't want to listen to you, God, anymore, and And we know what we want. We know what's best for us, and this is what we want. So we're not the first people on the planet to make that kind of a decision. Nope. This has been going on for thousands of years, that people have made dumb decisions as to who they want to be in charge, God or somebody else. Turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. You think Samuel, you know, he's one of the good guys. You think his boys, yeah, this will be good. Well, verse 3, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. How is it possible that one of Samuel or both of Samuel's boys were willing to do that? Well, you can't be bribed to pervert the laws if there isn't somebody offering you the money. So the people were just as corrupt as Samuel's boys, weren't they? Yep. They didn't want to give up their sins. They just didn't want to be punished for their sins. So, but they didn't like, you know, some of them, I'm assuming some of the more prominent ones, got their toes stepped on because somebody paid more money to either one of those two boys, and some big wig got his toe stepped on. So, verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We're sick of this judge thing. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. No, they weren't rejecting Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Sounds like the United States? Yeah. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And so Samuel did. And he told them, he says, this is the kind of king that you're going to get. This is what life is going to be like if you choose this. If this is what you really want. It's going to get hard. You're going to pay more taxes than you've ever paid. Your stuff is going to be taken from you and used by the government to do whatever they want. Your kids are going to serve the government. Your servants are going to serve the government. The people that work for you are going to serve the government and do whatever it is that the king wants them to do. And it's going to be hard. But you're going to have that king. That's what you want. That's what you're going to get. And so verse 19 says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. We want to be like everybody else in the world. We don't want to be God fearing God-ruled people. We want to be ruled by an earthly king, just like everybody else on the planet. So no, this isn't anything new that's happened to the United States. It's happened many times in the past. But in those times in the past, they had the same choice as we do. Who do you want to serve today? Who do you choose today? Jesus or Barabbas? These people had been there, you know, they've been through the reign of judges and all of that stuff, and it's been hundreds of years, And, you know, you would think that they would have, when they crossed the river, they would have put all that stuff behind them and they would never, ever, ever wander off the path. So let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. And I'm not going to start at verse 15. I'm going to start back. I'm going to start at verse 5. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. I set you free. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. I did that for you. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand, the hand of Balak. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. You didn't do it. I did all of this for you. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. You're in them right now. Joshua's telling them, you're living in cities that you didn't build. You're living in houses that you didn't have to pay for. You dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not. Do you eat? You didn't even plant your own garden. I did all of this for you. I gave it to you. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He gave us the United States. It's a promised land. He promised this land to the people who were willing to keep his commandments in all things that he did. And he said, if you will keep my commandments and walk in them daily, I will bless you beyond belief, because we are in the land flowing with milk and honey. There is no other place on earth besides the Americas where there is such an abundance of everything. Everything. We've got more on these two continents than any other place on earth. And this is a promised land. But in order to stay here, you have to keep his commandments. If you don't, he will punish you. And it's not going to be good. But it's your choice. So one more time. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether Barabbas and his father, the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's my hope. This house, we will serve the Lord. But we have to choose every single day every day choose Jesus or Barabbas. I love you all. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Sean, for that message.